Do you remember a few years ago when McDonald's began to introduce the McFlurry dessert? Well, I can remember that it was something I was very interested in and decided that I would give it a try, and for a while I began to enjoy them, but then I got to where I had bad luck with them. It seemed like on one specific location I would go to, and on a hot summer day, I was looking for something cold, something to satisfy my immediate hunger. And as I went to the local restaurant and ordered one, I got the bad news that the machine was out of order. And so I decided, well, I will drive, I know, about a few blocks around where another one happened to be. And again, bad luck struck because they recently ran out of the certain things that I was looking for. And it seemed like every so often when I was in a mood, and if my family and I were to travel to somewhere, I would order and something like that would happen. It would just get to be almost unbearable. You could just see it coming, something that you want, something that you desire, and something was not going the way you wanted it to. And you know, if I had the power to do something about it, I might have considered taking it out on that ice cream machine. I might have said, if it's not going to do something for me, you know, I'm going to do something to it. But I didn't have the power to. Look with me now to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and I like for us to begin reading in verse 18. You'll find that here Jesus is in great desire. There is something he sees, and something is not as he wishes it to be. In Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 18, we're told, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it, and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately, the fig tree withered away." Now you can imagine how there was something that Jesus desired and something that he expected a fig tree to do, to produce figs. And seeing no figs, he made it to where the fig tree would not produce any more figs. But in verse 20, the disciples saw it. And when they did, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." You see, there's a very important lesson here that can be learned from what Jesus had done to the fig tree. Just as Jesus was able to make this fig tree not bear figs again, he said there is something that the disciples could do. Even using the illustration of saying to a mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea, and that will be done." You see, anything is possible if indeed we have faith. In the book of James, in chapter 1, James taught us a little bit about this. He said in verse 5 that any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, and stable in all his ways. How many times have we supposed something? Sometimes we might be right. Other times we could be wrong. But Jesus says that we must ask in faith. And James says if we do so with no doubting, it will be done. You see, faith is a very critical part of being a child of God. We're told in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And later in verse 6, we're told that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If I'm going to have faith to come to God, I've got to get faith from somewhere. And Paul tells us exactly where our faith comes from in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. When he said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Imagine that fig tree heard the word of Christ. And it did exactly as it was commanded to do. But you see, there was something else that must accompany faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you recall that very chapter that Paul describes love very, very well. He made the connection in verse 2. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It's interesting that he says, so that I could remove mountains. And here, Jesus said that you can move a mountain, but you have to have faith. You have to have a true love for God and for Christ and to be willing to do whatever he said. But then, as Jesus consoled them, he says, whatever you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Do we ever find ourselves in great need? Is there something that we desire? Well, are we asking for the right things and in the right way? If we are, we are guaranteed that we will receive. Remember Jesus' words earlier in Matthew, this time in chapter 7. Beginning in verse 7, he said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, sometimes we think we know what we want, but God knows better, doesn't he? Certainly he knows there are good things to give unto us before we even ask. But he wants us to come to him and ask for the right things. And he is certainly more than willing to give us those very things. Well, this is just a few things that we have learned from this, a certain fig tree. But on another occasion, Jesus used the fig tree in a parable to teach the lesson. Look with me now to the Gospel of Luke. Now we come to chapter 13 and beginning in verse 6. In Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 6, Jesus also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Perhaps do you see just a slight contrast of immediately withering the fig tree or immediately cutting it down? Bear with it a little bit longer and give it another chance. You see, on this particular occasion, here was a man that planted it and knew what he expected but did not get what he wanted. And so he told the keeper of the vineyard that he sought its fruit for at least 3 years and was not able to find any. Therefore, according to him, it should be cut down, perhaps even immediately. But you see, the keeper of the vineyard had another idea. He said in verse 8, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it." When you think of this, you think maybe the fig tree has a second chance. Maybe it has another chance, and perhaps with a little more help, it can produce. You see, that's the way in which God treats us. We find that there is a very importance about long-suffering. Yes, the keeper of the vineyard was long-suffering toward the fig tree, and you know that's the way God is with all of us. In the book of 2 Peter in chapter 3, there in verse 9, Peter said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Repentance is something that Jesus commands of each and every one of us. He said earlier, Luke chapter 13, in verses 3 and 5, the verse immediately before this passage, saying, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And you can just get a picture in your mind about a tree getting a second chance to produce its fruit. Perhaps if it does so, it would avoid being cut down. But then you find the idea that he was willing to help the tree. Perhaps there's something more that could be done to it to allow it to bear fruit and to grow. Isn't that the way God wants to treat us? He has given us so many opportunities to help us. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There are times that we all are in need and we all could use a little extra help. But you see, regardless of what the tree was going to do, it had its fate awaiting it. And we're told exactly what those two choices might be. For example, in the Gospel of John in chapter 5, there in verse 28, Jesus said very plainly, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." You see, what we do now determines what we will do later on, or where will we spend our eternity. We also read in the book of Acts in chapter 24, there in verse 15, "that I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Regardless of who we are, we will have a resurrection. We have a place that we will be. But will that place be in heaven with the Lord forever and ever? Or will that place be in a home of eternal destruction? Without God, where there will be no second chance. Can you imagine now if we are that very fig tree and we could have the opportunity to make a choice? What would your choice be? As we consider that question tonight, I'd like for us to conclude with Jesus' own words. In the Gospel of John in chapter 15, I believe he can tie both of these stories together about the fig tree. Jesus says, beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may even bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Tonight, can you say, our Heavenly Father is glorified because of what we do, that we are willing to be the disciples of Christ, that we are willing to bear much fruit for Him? Tonight, we're about to sing the song of encouragement. And if there is one that needs to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.